Welcome to Connections with Cheryl Brady. Today's message is entitled, What He Put In You Then Will Work For You Now.
God that I'm talking about today will do radical things. Woo! I said He'll do radical things. He'll do crazy things. But see, we've then got so educated. And the spirit of reasoning has taken over the church. And we want to reason things. See, back in the day when we didn't have food to put on our table, hey, you can't reason that. You just have to believe God. Y'all better help me today. That's why you got to believe God. You got to know that He's able. You got to stretch out on Him. The problem with us is we just don't really need Him like we used to need Him. And so we don't reach for Him like we used to reach for Him, because He's blessed us and He's helped us and all of that. But there still ought to be something in you that says, God, I thank You for all that I've seen. But I know that I know that I know that I know that there are things that You are capable of doing. And I refuse to be limited to what I have seen. So as the church, we need to break our barriers down. You need to come in here expecting God to heal somebody of cancer. Oh, yes. You need to come in here and expect God to pull a baby up out of a coma every now and then. We ought to come in here expecting. We got to break out the box. We got to break open the mold. We got to be able to do what God has called us to do, even if it looks crazy, even if people talk about us, even if they fool around and say them people over there have lost their mind. While we are locked down in our regimented religious activity, all hell is having a heyday. They are blowing up. They are advancing in every arena. They're taking over the internet. They're taking over the music industry. They're taking over the political arena, the social networking. All hell is taking over everything. They're taking over the airwaves. Yeah, our sign went up on the road, but there's some signs up there that say, I don't know if anybody has seen them. But I saw a beautiful manger scene. And it was beautiful, just blue, and I knew it was the birth of Christ. I knew immediately, without even having to read anything. I just looked at it and I smiled and I thought, that's beautiful. But the closer I got to it, then I read these words that were on it. And those words said, you know, it's all a myth. For every billboard that says, you know, it's all a myth, we ought to be able to put one up and say, the devil is a liar. It is true. It is well. For God so loved the world, even those of you that think it's a myth, He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Hell is on the cutting edge, y'all. And hell ain't having to beg people to put a $20 bill in an envelope, because people are there financing it all the way to the bank. Help us, Jesus. We have got to understand that hell is on the cutting edge. All the while, we're sitting up in the church doing what we've always done for 50 years, shouting and singing and dancing and getting a feeling and going home and struggling and coming back and doing it over and over and over again. But we are going to have to do something radical. We're going to have to do something different. We're going to have to break the rules, break the mold, and ask God to increase our thinking. It's time to do ministry on a much bigger level. Touch somebody and tell them, think bigger. Because if you'll think bigger, you'll do better. Some of you are big thinkers. You walked into a startup church. I know what it's like to sit under Bishop Jakes. I know what it's like when I had to leave here many, many, many years ago, 12 years ago, 13, 14 years ago. When I left here, I went kicking and screaming because I wanted to be right where I was at. But I also know that sometimes to do what God has called you to do, He's got to take you through radical changes. And there was a day that I sat there like a patient with a big IV in my arm. But you can't stay sick forever. I said, you can't stay sick forever. It was time for me to walk out and walk the things that I had heard. I said, it was time for me to walk out and put shoe leather to the things that I had heard Him preach. Some of you are big thinkers. You wouldn't even be sitting in this building. I understand that. It took a big step for you to say, okay, I'm going to leave that for now, because I believe that I'm part of the expansion. I'm believing that God has got something He wants me to do. I believe I've been empowered. I've been fed well. But now it is my season to be about the work of ministry. Tell somebody, you got to be open to change. That's why you're here. So we have to implement change. That's why we're open to different diverse types of music. We can't just sing the same old thing that we've always sang. If we're going to attract a multicultural church, we've got to have multicultural music. And there's going to be times that you sit there thinking, I don't like this song. But the person next to you has got tears running down their face because it is that song that is helping them to get the breakthrough that they need. And then you've got other people that sit there and say, my mother is a perfect example. She will come and she'll participate and she'll clap. And when she's able, she'll stand. But when we pull out something like, I need thee, oh, I need thee, it takes her back. And all of a sudden, my mama enters in behind the veil. Oh, there's got to be, we've got to have it for everybody. I said, we got to have it for everybody. So if this ain't what you like, just smile, because we're coming your way pretty soon. Sooner or later, we're going to sing your song. But learn how to embrace somebody else's. When they first come out with the song, Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing, you know, I've always thought that is the most boring song. I mean, we'd be having church, hallelujah. And then they come out, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Ooh, that worship leader just missed it right there. Now I love it. You know why? Because people learn to eat what you put in front of them. You remember when you were a kid? Your mama said, eat those mashed potatoes, eat that corn. That's the problem with us now. That's why some of us are like we are. Because we done learned to eat all kinds of stuff that we didn't think we liked. Well, do that in the spirit. Just open up and say, Lord, if it resembles you at all, then I want to be a part of it. I want to be open to it. When I was coming up, children's church was sitting next to your mama in church. That was it. And then when my children were coming up, children's church was people that were frustrated but because it was their Sunday, but they took them back there anyway and they tried to entertain them so that you could have a good time in the service. That's the way it was. Oh, but touch somebody and tell them it's different now. We've got to, you heard my husband talk about it. We need to put a major priority on our children. You understand? Because just think if they had somebody that would take the time to really tell them on their level what I'm telling you on this level. If they can find out what I'm preaching and preach to the children, all of you go home. They come from the children's ministry, go home. You come from the sanctuary and go home. But when you go home, y'all are in one mind and in one accord because you've been taught one thing. And where you're together, where there is unity, God commands a blessing on your household. So, all of it, it's all a priority. Maybe we wouldn't have such gang activity if we'd had some Sunday school teachers back then who wouldn't just be like, man, oh, it's my Sunday. I should call in sick today. Don't act like y'all didn't do that. People do that. What I'm trying to tell you today is children's ministry is important. People will go to a church and listen to a preacher that they don't like and endure a bad sermon simply because their children love it. Oh, yes, it's a truth. It's a truth. And they take their money with them. Tell somebody, I dare you to be a radical mover. This is a new day. We got to be open to new concepts. See, I've learned that, and I learned this the hard way because I was at the mercy of a whole lot of crazy preachers. So I learned that if the preacher liked to have church all day, then I had to be prepared to stay all day. But the truth be told, I don't want to be in church all day. Oh, Oh, y'all phony. Y'all are phony because you know good and well you don't want to be in church. Now, if God is blowing up in this room, come on. I'll stay till the sun sets. I'll stay all night. I'll tarry with you ever how many hours if it's a supernatural visitation. But just because it's something that you always did, because your daddy always did it, because his daddy always did it, and you think we got to be in church for 5 hours on Sunday morning? No, baby, not this generation. Now, yeah, now I hear you. I hear you. This generation is movers and shakers. We got things to do. We work hard all week long. We put our kids with daycare workers. On Sunday, we want to love God and we want to love our family. Woo, one of the greatest deliverances I ever got was being delivered from Sunday night church. Woo! Because they make you feel guilty as a dog. They make you feel like you don't really love the Lord. Because, you know, if you only people on Sunday night, we are the real people that love the Lord. The devil is a liar. I love him with all of my heart. But I love my children. I love my husband. And I love life. Tell somebody, get off me. Get off of me. Get off of me. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And all we really did on Sunday night was come back in and try to rehash what we did on Sunday morning. And it could be so wonderful on Sunday morning. And you can leave high-fiving everybody. It'll be great. And everybody comes back in. Praise the Lord. Good to see you. Hallelujah. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. It's a religious mentality. I'm sorry. Now, if God has called you to have a Sunday night service, do it. Do it with all of your might. Do it with all of your strength. But to just be doing it because mom and them did it, I ain't gonna do it. Oh, I think I got some grateful folk in here. And you know, back in the day, we could stay at church all day long. We could, because there was nothing to do but church, okay? Because they told us everything was a sin. If you do that, it's a sin. If you do that, it's a sin. If you do that, it's a sin. You can't go here. You can't eat there. You can't do... Oh, everything was a sin. So what do you think we're going to do? We're going to sit in church all day. And we're broke. So where do broke folk go when they need good, cheap entertainment? They go to church. But everybody ain't broke today. Tell somebody, I love that, Pastor Cheryl Brady. Hallelujah. Ooh, I'm free. Aren't you glad to be free? And I love the Lord. I'm so excited because I made some appointments this week too. In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to go meet the mayor of Plano, and I'm just going to kind of work my way through the political system. See, when I was brought up, you didn't do stuff like that. They'd say, come out from among the world. Yeah, but then they would tell me, I'm the salt of the earth. So I'm getting ready to go in there, and I'm going to introduce myself, and I'm going to say, hi, the Potter's House North is in this community, and I just want you to know that we are here, and I want you to know who we are. See, does the community even know that they didn't know we were there. When I was a kid, they didn't know who we were. And so I'm making it a point to meet the city officials so that when I want them to know, if a crisis hits this city, call this number, because the Potter's House North is going to be right there. We're going to pull a team together, and we're going to come in and do what Jesus would do, which would be heal the city. I'm interested in doing more than just making you shout and giving you another good word on Sunday. You ain't even walked in half of the good words that you've heard all of your life. So I'm not trying to make you feel good. I want to motivate you to do the work of ministry. And tell somebody, it's work. I want to feed you a balanced diet. I don't want to give you a snack. I don't want to snack you to death to where you got sugar highs. And you're high when you leave church. But then in a minute, you're like, ooh. Touch somebody and tell them balance, 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 balance. It's time for radical moves in the church. The Bible said Jesus spat on the ground, which is radical. Whew. See, I want the victory to the point that whatever it costs, if I'm blind and you spitting on the ground right in my face will give me a miracle, then you go right ahead. See, some of us can't do that because we too sharp. We too spiffy. We too clean. Y'all ain't heard spiffy in a while. We're too spiffy. We're too clean. We got it too going on for Jesus to slap some mud on us. But that's because you ain't in trouble. If you ever really get in trouble, if you've walked in a blind man's shoes, then I'll tell you, cost will not be an option. If I got to run to the altar, if I got to roll in the floor, if I got to dance like a fool, if I got to leap like a kangaroo, if I got to stand on my head, if I got to flip like cheetah, tell somebody, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. Jesus spat on the ground and he made a mud pie, and then he took that mud pie and he rubbed it in the blind man's eye. And after all of that, after all of that, the spitting, making spit and having to put it on his face, he still couldn't see. At the end of all of the master's treatment, he still couldn't see. Oh, I cannot tell you how important that it is that you prepare yourself for this very moment in your life. He met the Lord, but he couldn't see. He received of the ministry of the Lord, but he still couldn't see. He submitted to the Lord. He couldn't see. He did all that they told him to do. He did everything that he knew to do and was touched by the master himself, and he still couldn't see. He was anointed by Jesus with the mud pie. He was anointed with what the Bible calls ointment, and he still, I mean, it wasn't the preacher that laid hands on him. It was Jesus that laid hands on him, and he still could not see, because there is something about the anointing of the Lord that we must understand. There is just going to be a time period, a time frame in your life where God anoints you, and it just don't look like it is going to work. There are going to be seasons in your life where you got to be anointed and still have to wait on the Lord. You got to be willing to be anointed and know that it's just not my time yet. I'm still anointed, but it ain't my time. I'm anointed, but I'm still in the shadow. I'm anointed, but I'm still in the background. I'm anointed, but I've been locked out of some things. I'm anointed and I've been overlooked. I'm anointed and ostracized. I'm anointed and isolated. I'm anointed and rejected. I'm anointed and ignored. I'm anointed and I'm criticized. Anointed and I don't know where I'm going to get my rent money. That don't mean I'm not anointed. I'm anointed and I'm broke. I'm anointed and I got cancer. I'm anointed and I still lost my job. I'm anointed and my son's on crack. My daughter's got a baby out of wedlock, but I'm still anointed. My husband is having an affair, but I am anointed. Touch somebody and tell them, I'm still anointed. Woo. And let me tell you something about God. If he ever, ever, ever put it in you, oh, it's going to show up after a while, sooner or later. If he ever put it in you, you can take it to the bank. He may not come when you want it, but he will be right on time. Sometimes you gotta be willing to be spit on, even though you know you're anointed. Sometimes you gotta look muddy for a while. Yeah, I'm anointed. I look muddy, but no, I'm still anointed. Whew. Because if you can hold out for a little while, God will bless your life. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present moment are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Touch somebody. Hold and tell them, hold out. Don't let the mud mess you up. Come on, tell them, hold out. Don't let the dirt discourage you. Don't let the spit set you back. Don't make it let cause you to let go of your faith. Tell them, stand your ground. And having done all to stand, stand there and know that you know that you know that you know that you are anointed. You might look a mess right now. You might be covered in mud right now. But God is about to release a miracle in your life that is so big that sooner or later every person will see it. They've been looking at your affliction. They've been looking at your handicap. They've been looking at your inadequacies. They've been talking about your limitations. They've been talking about the money mess that your life is in. But God is getting ready to turn your mud into a miracle. I said he's getting ready to turn your mud into a miracle. He's about to really give people something to talk about. Touch your neighbor, tell him, get ready, get ready, get ready. Tell them again, because I don't think they hurt you. Tell them, get ready. You got to be willing to get ready. Even when you can't see, you got to be willing to be prepared. Even when it seems silly, you got to be willing to pull it all together. Even though it feels like it's getting worse rather than getting better, you got to be able to say, I can't see you, God, but I still love you. I can't trace you, but I still love you. I got mud on my face, but I'll still praise you. I'll still give you the glory. Well, Jesus, thank you for praying for me. You really did all you could, and I thank you, but I still can't see. You put your hands on me, but I still can't see. You put the ointment on me, but I still can't see. I'm saved, but I'm still hurting. I'm praising you, Lord, but I'm still hurting. I'm studying your word, and I'm standing on your promise, but I got to be honest and tell you, still hurting in my life. I'm preaching, and I can't see my way clear. I'm pastoring. I'm raising my children, but I can't see my way clear. I'm in this position on my job, but I really can't see my way up or out or over. I'm busy encouraging everybody else, but sometimes it looks like what I'm preaching to everybody else works for them, but it never, ever seems to work for me. It seems like he got his, and she got hers, and they got theirs. But Jesus, when are you going to remember me? Oh, and as I read that last night, I heard the Lord say, go now and wash in the pool of Siloam. And when I read that, I got a huge revelation, because I began to understand that there are going to be times that God will ask you to go. Even when you cannot see, he'll ask you to go places that you cannot see. See, God is raising up men and women who will understand that we walk by faith and not by sight. He's raising up men and women who are willing to go even when they can't see. And let me tell somebody that is in the potter's house today that there are things that your eyes have not seen that have got your name on them. So even when you can't see it, tell somebody, keep on walking. Even when you can't see it, keep on pressing, keep on moving. Pull yourself together, and though the vision tarry, wait for it. And I want the devil to know that I, for one, have made up my mind. I'm gonna follow Jesus. And if I can't run, I'll walk. And if I can't walk, I'll crawl. But I am gonna follow Jesus. Tell somebody, crawl if you have to. Crawl if you have to. Shake hands with your neighbor, tell him, keep on crawling. Trouble in my way, but I'm gonna keep on crawling. I can't see where to put my foot next, but I'm gonna keep on crawling. I've been lied on, but I'm gonna keep on crawling. I don't even know who my real friends are, but I'm gonna keep on crawling. I don't know who to talk to, but I'm gonna keep on crawling. It's taken every ounce of faith I've got, but I'm gonna stay in the race. It's dark, but I'm gonna keep on crawling. And if I can just get to the pool, everything is gonna be all right. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell him, make sure that you make it to the pool. Tell your other neighbor, make sure that you make it to the water, because there's healing in the water, there's deliverance in the water, there's miracles in the water, there's breakthroughs in the water. I don't care how you get there, tell somebody, just get to the water. Everything you need is in the water. You've been crying for it in prayer, but it's in the water. You've been asking God, it's in the water. Your next level is not in your boss's bed. Your next level is in the water. Your next strategy is in the water. Your answers are in the water. Your wisdom is in the water. Your insight is in the water. Oh, God is about to turn the potter's house into a pool this morning. Tell your neighbor, I'm stepping in water. I feel it in my toes. I feel it around my ankles. And I don't know what you gonna do, but I believe I'm gonna wash my face in the water. I'm gonna wash away my tears in the water. I'll wash away regret and fear and insecurity and past failures and distractions. I'm gonna wash them all in the water. Hallelujah. And the master spat on the ground, made a mud pie, and threw it in the blind man's eye. And what he put on him then is about to work for him now. Touch somebody, say, now that you're in the pool, I want you to know that what God put on you then is about to work for you now. He's fixing to bring you out of the shadow. He's fixing to bring you into the light. And your enemies are going to be so frustrated because they just thought for sure that what was going on in your life was not real. So they joked about your life and your church and your ministry and your family. But while they were joking, you were moving toward the pool. Oh, tell somebody, I thank God for the press that he kept in my spirit. Does anybody know you wouldn't be where you are if you'd have been waiting for encouragers? You had to have a press. Ah, press. I'm all pressed toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. I can't explain what I'm pressing for, but I'm going to stay in the press. I can't describe it or define it or depict it, but I'm going to stay in the press until I apprehend that which I have been apprehended of.
Thanks for listening to Connections with Cheryl Brady. If you would like to order a copy of today's message, visit our online store at CherylBrady.com or call 888-CHERYL8. Again, thank you for listening to Connections with Cheryl Brady.